The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with David Hayes, Doug Hughes, live in studio with Mr. Wayne Thacker. And we are manning the ship today and doing the radio show. Mr. Hayes is away. I think he's gone to a school event with his family. And so here we are to introduce and to bring to everyone some really good information this evening, Wayne, about budgets. But we're gonna get to that in overall financial planning. A couple of points of view for the news of the week. It's been a very interesting start to 2018 with the markets. The S&P lost almost 0.8% in the first quarter of 2018, the ninth time since 1990 the stock market was negative during the first 3 months of the year. The S&P went on to record a positive return for the entire year in five of the previous 8 years that started with a loss. And so there's a lot of people out there wondering what they should do with their portfolios, and sometimes history doesn't repeat itself. It simply rhymes. April has been the best month for the S&P 500 over the last 25 years, having gained an average of 1.81%, just ahead of October's 1.8% average gain. After adjusting numerical data from the past for the impact of inflation, the median household income in 2016, $59,039, is the highest ever recorded in the United States. The best previous record for median household income, $58,665, was set in 1999, reports the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. You borrow, you pay. You've heard that before, haven't you, Wayne?
A couple times.
94.5% of home mortgages are current and performing. Just 2.4% of home mortgages were seriously delinquent, which means 60 days or more past due as of 12/31/17. So people are doing a really good job of making their monthly mortgage payments. 155.2 million Americans today have full-time jobs. 47% of our 327.5 million citizens. Now, here's where we're going to leap into our program for tonight. Just 47% of American workers, Wayne, report that they do an excellent or very good job at living within a budget.
That's, you know, shocking when you look at the credit card stats and on the debt stats right now, but that's a nice statistic.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be talking about some of these things on the program tonight. We're going to talk about budgeting. We're going to talk about some different ideas on how to track your spending and do different types of just different things we've learned along the way from different clients and some programs that we've taught along the way. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have a great program tonight. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
All right, Doug, whose money is it?
It's your money.
With David Hayes, except David Hayes isn't here today. No, this is Wayne Thacker and Doug Hughes sitting in studio filling in for David while he's out with his family this evening. And we are talking about, we're going back to the basics here, Doug. We're going to be talking about budgeting and debt elimination strategies and how to save more. And really, the title of our workshop we've been promoting is Save More, Have More, Spend More. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive into this. And for some of you listeners, there are some very experienced listeners to the radio show. Some of this stuff is just, like I said, going right back to the basics. This may not be for everyone, but it may be for your kids, maybe for some of those younger listeners, maybe for somebody that's never heard this stuff.
And, you know, Wayne, we did an interview earlier this week about a new trend that's kind of coming around, and that's people who are 75 and older who are finding themselves in debt, in reoccurring debt. And one of the things I mentioned in that interview was that, you know, if you don't learn about budgeting and cash flow in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, don't expect all of a sudden in your 70s to have this under control. So the things you're talking about, while it may not seem that applicable to some people, and it may be very simple, it may not be as simple and as applicable as people think. There's a lot of people who need could learn from cash flow management and budgeting.
Well, you're exactly right, Doug. And the purpose of today's show is really just to inspire or encourage someone, no matter what your age is. And maybe we can teach an old dog some new tricks, because we're going to talk about some tips, tricks, tactics that you could use starting today to maybe save a little bit more money or spend a little bit less. So, you know, we talk about budgeting, and why do we start there, Doug? Well, first of all, before I even get started on that, just remember, as we talk on this radio show, it might seem like, you know, we're the type of guys that have never had budgeting problems, spending problems, any of those things. It couldn't be further from the truth. My March alone in my personal household, I've got a dented car, a speeding ticket, a new pet that's scratching the heck out of all of our doors and window seals, and a mouthpiece for my wife who's having some TMJ problems. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are real things that happen as you travel along the path of life, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we often talk about what is considered the path of life. Most people, when they look at their finances, they see a starting point and they envision a very large number at the end. And they think that all I do is just, you know, plug this money away. I'm never going to have any interruptions. I'm always going to make this much income. I'm never going to have some of the things that you mentioned. Yeah,
that ride's as smooth as a roller coaster.
Smooth as a roller coaster. That's
right. Up the hill.
Yeah,
right?
And up the hill. But Wayne, what we do know is this, is that everyone goes, as they're moving down the path of life, through different experiences they weren't expecting. And some of those expenses can really take you by surprise. Nothing like having a furnace going out in the winter. I mean, it's the fastest phone call that you make. Or there's nothing like a washer and dryer going out at the same time. And what happens to a lot of people is these things happen in a fairly short amount of time. And if they don't have cash reserves or haven't budgeted for those expenses, then they're really going to have a hard time when they come along.
And that's right. And then so we start with talking about budgeting and why budgeting first. And it's generally because budgeting is the lead domino, Doug. It's the thing that makes everything easier, better, or automatic in your spending plan. We don't generally say budgeting. Everybody knows that word. But we call it actually your budget is actually called your spending plan.
Yeah.
That's why you create this thing. And you should always start out with a budget. And a couple of the tools that we'll just mention for budgeting that we've seen used, there's Mint.com. I've used that one personally for over 10 years now. That's a free service that you can log in and create a new account online. There's the Every Dollar app. Mm-hmm. That's one that a lot of our clients have used over the years. There's a free version. There's a paid version. We have heard that the free version is very good and very comparable to Mint.com. So, and then we have people that just use plain old pen and paper.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting about that is that when people get involved in budgeting, it can become, you know, at the beginning, sometimes there's a little bit of tension with it. And I want to spend here. I don't want to spend there. But when you begin to see successes in budgeting, the next thing you know, it becomes kind of addictive, and then people get excited about it, and the better you're doing, the better you're doing with it. So the one thing I would say about budgeting is that while it's for a lot of people, it's a bad word, and a lot of people are really challenged by it. They don't like it. But the next thing you know, once they get in it and they begin to see successes, then their whole financial outlook begins to change. And I want to say something. I was give you another example. I joined a boot camp, a half of a boot camp earlier this year. And the idea is that, you know, you would change the way you eat and you would exercise. And I said to the person running this boot camp, listen, you know, when you ask people to do two things at once that are uncomfortable or that they don't want to do or that are going to be difficult, when they don't do one of them, they won't do either one of them. And so what I did is I began with dieting first and I changed the way that I eat. And I found foods that I love and foods that I enjoy. They're necessary. But the person who put me on this boot camp said to me, you also have 300 calories to spend a day. And when I did this, I found that I was able to have a McDonald's ice cream cone once in a while or, you know, something like that. And so it wasn't just a complete elimination of things that I really enjoy. It was those things in moderation to still enjoy. And Wayne, why do people fail in budgets? It's because sometimes the budget is too constrictive.
No flexibility.
There's no flexibility. And they get on a plan that is not sustainable. No different than going through a boot camp.
Right.
That is why weight loss and debt reduction books are bestsellers, is because everyone is looking for the way to do that. So as we go through this tonight, we want all the listeners to know that if you find yourself in this situation, that the reality is you need to have a budget that is flexible and coordinated and works well. And before the end of the program, we're going to talk about budgets for retirees the 3 to 5 years before they retire, because that budget is altogether different. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program.
This dieting plan person sounds like a very smart man or woman, whoever that was, Doug.
Yeah.
Because you're down 30 pounds now this
I
year,
am.
Which is
I
great.
Am, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The budgeting plan does need to be flexible.
Yes.
You've got to have some flexibility or you won't stick to it. And just like your diet, this does become addictive.
Yep.
You know, if you can do this for 3 or 5 days and in a budget, 3 or 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, boy, it does become addictive as you kind of catch on. The budget, also known as the spending plan. Mm-hmm. Why is this important? Studies show that the things you track, if you track better, you'll do better. So the budget gives you a way to track. Where are you? Where are you going? It kind of mm-hmm. gets you excited about what you're doing. It also makes some people become aware of their habits. You know, before you were budgeting your diet, you didn't know what you were eating. You would go to the restaurant,
right.
Order your favorite foods. You have no idea if you're eating 2,000 calories a day or 3,000 or 3,500. No idea.
No idea.
So by having a budget, it does allow you to become aware of your habits. The budget also gives you a roadmap, and we're mm-hmm. going to talk about specifically saving for a Flex account instead of a credit card. Kind of creating your own credit card. And we're going to talk about building a roadmap to in your budget to help you with a debt elimination strategy or a debt reduction strategy as well. The budget also should provide someone with short and long-term spending goals. You know, we're all saving for kids' colleges, retirement,
mm-hmm.
The new when's the best time to start saving for new tires on your car, Doug?
The paycheck after the last set you bought.
That's right.
And you know, Wayne, the reality is you mentioned short and long-term savings objectives, but a lot of people never realize or never put together the fact that they have three different buckets when it comes to your cash flow, right? You have your short-term, your mid-term, and your long-term. Most people have enough money to cover, or they're trying to have enough money to cover 3 months of bills so that they, in case they have an income disruption, yep. they can't handle that. And the rest of their money is going into long-term things, which are retirement accounts. Well, what do you do for college for kids? What do you do for 20th, 25th anniversaries? What do you do for any of these midterm savings goals, a new car in 5 years? How do you put those midterm savings goals into a budget that doesn't just address short-term and long-term, but also addresses midterm expenses? And this is why we just feel like after, you know, our collective 30 years of doing this, that the people who have a spending plan and who do budgeting always end up in a better situation than the people who just haphazardly let things happen, see things happen, and don't really have things together.
Yeah, and let's not just talk about a better situation financially. But what that does for someone is it puts them in a better place emotionally, mentally,
mm-hmm.
and that's always good.
Absolutely. You know, Wayne, we need to take a break, and so when we come back, we're going to jump into a little more of these details on a budget. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I'm Wayne Thacker, and Doug Hughes is in the studio with me today talking about the B word, and we're talking about budgets.
Ah, there you go.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. The Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame is supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. To learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to MCSHOF.com. That's a mouthful.
Could you say that three times?
It's MCSHOF.com, or you can just Google it, Doug.
Ah,
Doug, we're here. We're talking about budgets today. So we want to give some people some tangible things they can do. If you've thought about doing a budget, your 2018 rolled around and that was on your New Year's resolution list and you haven't gotten to it yet, let's just describe a few ways to start this budget. Number one, what we always tell people is always think about your future self. So please be sure that you're contributing. We highly recommend starting out at least 10% of your payroll to your company's 401k.
Mm-hmm.
At least get all the matching contributions, all that stuff. So that's a starting point. So Doug, someone works a job, has a business, something happens, but there's this take-home pay after taxes, after health insurance, all that stuff. That's where you want to start your budget. You don't want to start it with your gross income. You may you may be a teacher that makes $65,000 a year, but that's not what you spend each year.
Actually, and you're exactly right, Wayne. And unfortunately, where a lot of people fall into overspending is that they take out loans based on their gross income. And they qualify for certain loans based on gross income and not net. And so we, you know, because then there's the opportunity to stop saving as much in your retirement plan, and that's how lenders sometimes look at this. And what we always say is that you need to know the difference. You need to know the difference between net and gross. And this is a very fair calculation that you need to understand very well. So what we always say to people is look at what you need to do to provide yourself a net income that allows for savings when you're beginning the budget process.
Start the budget with your net income. Yes. That's the total take-home pay. We call it take-home pay at the office, but that's your net income. Doug, you alluded to something I wanted to talk about really quick. The two biggest mistakes we see people make, especially young people, if you're out there listening, if you're a parent and you've got a young person, please grab them, talk to them about this, because I've seen this my entire career. Two big mistakes. Number one, automobile.
Mm.
You know, you get that first job, Doug, we see this all the time. This is more money than you've ever thought you were going to make. You're just out of school. You get that job. And the first thing a lot of people do is they go down and they buy a vehicle that's way too expensive just to have something, you know, the nice wheels. We are, as American consumers, we are addicted to having those nice wheels. It's just, it's kind of in our blood, I think, Doug, for a lot of people.
It is. And what a lot of people tend to forget about is that there's an actual math behind the payment. And you can look at a five-year loan on a car, or I think they go to 7 years now in some cases. And people tend to forget to do the math. If I pay X number of dollars over this many years, you might actually end up paying, as an example,
two or three cars.
Yeah, two or three cars for the price of one. And so you need to begin when you do your automobile shopping thinking about those things.
I'm going to give people a number here. This is a highly recommended 15% of your net income, take-home pay, should be derived for your transportation costs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about 15% should be the payment, Doug. I'm talking about your license plates are going to cost some money.
Yep.
The gas you use each week is going to cost some money. The insurance you pay is going to cost some money. So 15% should be everything that goes toward your transportation costs. So work backwards. Take 15% of your income, take off what the insurance, gas, plates are going to cost you, and some maintenance if you're buying a used vehicle without a warranty. And then you can figure out how much you have left for a payment, and you can work that into total price of a vehicle you should be buying.
Absolutely.
The next biggest one, I know about this very well, is housing expense.
Mm-hmm.
You said it, and it's true. If you make $65,000 a year, there are lenders out there that will loan you close to 60%, let's say 50% to 55% of your gross income to go toward your housing payment alone. Mm-hmm. Doug, that's too much. That's barely under what someone's net income is if you really do the math on this thing.
Absolutely. And Wayne, we have seen this so many times. And the truth is that spending begets spending begets spending. We'd love to say you're just going to buy the house. But once you get the house, then you need new drapes, then you need new carpet, then you need to clean this, you need to do that. Some people even put hardwood floors in their basement.
Wow.
Some people, you know, have to replace windows, you know,
doors, windows.
Yeah. You go through that. And so it's not in their budget. We're so addicted to payments. We are so addicted to finding payments and payments we're comfortable with. And that's where the budget gets out of control. And once the first problem starts, it's just easier for the budget to be out of control than it is to get it back into control.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Doug. And housing, we don't recommend someone going 55% of your gross income. Mm-hmm. Actually, we highly recommend your housing expenses to be 25% or less of your net income. And here's why. If you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Mm-hmm. If you say yes to spending more money on your home, you're saying no to something else. And that something else could be saving for your kids' college, saving for your own retirement, being able to go out three nights a month instead of four. So you're saying no to something by spending more on the house. And we're not always saying that's a bad idea. There are people, you know, their home is their world. I mean, that's where they find enjoyment, peace, relaxation. But for most of Americans, we highly recommend keeping 25% of your net income total with your housing. And that includes principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
And so that's 25%. The first item you talked about, Wayne, was transportation is 15. So we're now up to 40% of someone's net income going to those two particular items.
That's right. And savings. So all too often, Doug, we talk about tires and bald tires and old cars at our office all the time. The best time to start saving for your new set of tires is the paycheck after you just put new tires on your vehicle, mm-hmm. right? Because that is a known unknown.
It's a known unknown. It's really the way we approach asset management, and it's also the way you should approach budgeting. They're known unknowns. And when you look at the cost of tires, it's not cheap. But you walk around your house, you look at your life, what are some known unknowns? I know that I'm going to have to replace my refrigerator. I don't know when. I know I'm going to have to replace clothes. I don't know when. I know I'm going to have to replace tires. I don't know when. And so if you're not ahead of the game and building reserves to cover these expenses, new tires on your car is not an emergency. That's not an emergency issue. That's an issue that's just coming in a matter of time.
You've apparently not seen some of the cars I've driven in the past.
Well, my point is this, that it's a known unknown. It's not an emergency. You had right. no idea like a job loss was coming. And so that's why we always say to people, you need to make sure that you're preparing for known unknowns. And we're going to talk about that when it comes to retirees when we come back. And honestly, I know this time is going fast, but when we need to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right back into this budget. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio with Wayne Thacker. We have been discussing budgets. It's sometimes a tough topic. Sometimes it's an issue that people want to avoid. They don't want to address. They'd rather not live on a budget. They're afraid of it. But the good news is, after a little bit of pain and a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of readjustment, it doesn't take too long to see the positive impact that a budget can have on your personal finances. Wayne, we talked a little bit about the mortgage, and we talked a little bit about transportation expenses and things like that. One of the things that we always say to people, too, is to make things automatic. You can make your electric bill automatic, your cable bill automatic, your internet bill. You can make all these things automatic. And that's one strategy that we would recommend that people do, is just to make things automatic. And, you know, when we talk about budgeting, another thing you need to think about is the frequency of your paycheck. Some people get paid on a weekly basis, monthly basis, biweekly basis. And so it takes a little bit of analysis. And so one of the things that we have at our office are cash flow statements, budgeting worksheets. And so we would just, you know, recommend anyone out there, if you need a budget worksheet, just give us a call, 812-334-3190. Or you can visit our website and www.cfci.us, and you can come check us out. And there's a budget worksheet and some different things like that along the way. Wayne, anytime we talk about budgets, you know, a budget that's mismanaged or spending problems lead into the another four-letter word, and that four-letter word is debt. And debt has been insurmountable for people. The numbers coming out now that household personal debt is higher today than it was in 2007. So everybody learned a lesson and got real frugal in the collapse of 2008, but now we're right back to assuming debt and assuming the future. Debt comes in the forms of mortgage and transportation, but it also comes in the form of college education, medical debt, And then, Wayne, it also comes into consumer debt. And all these debts are a little bit different and have a little bit different outcome with them. So for those people who are in debt and they're, you know, listening and they're halfway listening because they say, hey, there's no hope or I don't have a plan together, give us some ideas about debt and how these different things work.
Yeah, thank you. You talked about automation real quick, so I don't forget. If any of those tech geeks are out there and you love this idea of automating bill payments and things like that, Google The Psychology of Automation by Rami Sethi. And that's RamiSethi. That's a great article. It'll take you about 15 minutes to read through, but it's a good way to automate your spending. So, Doug, we can't, that's what the budget's for, right? All too often we run into people and they say, gosh, I need to make more money. If I made more money, I could have more things or travel more or do more of that. And then, but when we dive in with those folks, it's really not an income problem in most cases, is it, Doug? It's a spending problem. And that's where the budget comes into play. We talked about housing and transportation. Those two trip so many people up just right there, those two alone, but we haven't even touched on food and bills and cable bills, and now we're starting to see people cut the cable and all that stuff. And I don't want to make anybody at Smithville, you know, mad or any of that stuff, but there are ways to cut expenses and really better your spending plan. Two things I'm going to hit here as we talk about debt elimination strategies. First of all, you've got to build some sort of flex account, emergency fund, your own credit card, whatever you want to call it. You've got to build that. In everyone's budget, we should be saving. This is not retirement savings. This is savings account savings. 5 to 10% of your net income should be going into a savings account to build your own emergency fund, spending fund, flex fund, whatever you want to call it. And then, Doug, we have been going around and we've been doing these workshops for some employers here in Bloomington and locally. If you could put 5% of your net income into a debt reduction strategy or a debt elimination strategy, this is huge. Just 5% of your net take-home pay could be a big deal. And just to give you an idea, if you're someone that's taking home around $2,600 a month, we're talking 5% is $130 a month. Make it a budget line item, this debt elimination. The one that I'm the most fond of, and I've seen them all, I've done them all, I've worked numbers on all of them, but I really love the snowball, the debt elimination snowball. And if you don't know what this is, Google it, but I'm going to tell you right now, here's what you do. Forget about the interest rates you're paying for the most part. List all your debts and list them in order of smallest balance to largest balance. Make minimum payments on all of your debts, except for take this 5% of your debt elimination strategy, or if you can only do 1%, 2%, whatever it is, make an overage payment if you can. Pay off the smallest debt as quickly as possible, making those payments. Now, you've just saved that debt payment each month, but you're not going to save it and go out and spend it somewhere else. You're going to use that now as part of your debt elimination strategy. So take that payment that you were paying on that small debt, add it to your debt elimination payment, take those two, and now tackle the next smallest balance item that you have.
So paying the smallest one on first, and then adding your payments from the previous payment to the next payment, and just snowball it.
Snowball
it down. Image in your mind, just snowball it down.
Yeah, those payments will then begin to snowball, and all too often the last debt is some kind of college loan or house, and if you're snowballing, that snowball could be pretty large by the time you get there, and you're going to pay that house, that student loan, that automobile that you have there at the end. You're going to pay those things off pretty quick. We see people in these debt elimination strategies becoming debt free in 6, 7, 10 years. Usually I don't ever see anything over like 12 years.
And Wayne, when you say a debt elimination strategy, we're not just talking about credit cards. You're also talking about the mortgage in that 10 to 12 years, aren't you?
Absolutely. That's usually the last line item for most people. That's the largest balance that you owe. And by the time you get there, if you're snowballing these other debts, you're just tackling that mortgage at the end. And it feels fantastic when people walk into your office, Doug, and sit with you and tell you that they are debt free, and that includes their mortgage. What's the expression on their face look like?
Well, I can tell you that going into retirement, it's an absolutely different perspective when you have no debts versus than when you do have debts.
It certainly,
because then you're just deciding how to spend your income. Your income isn't already spoken for.
That's right. It certainly makes retirement planning a little easier when you don't have all of those additional expenses. So, but number one, someone's got to create that flex account for the known unknowns and for the known knowns.
Yeah.
You know, we know things are coming up. If you've got a daughter, you know she's probably going to get married at some point.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Belcher in our office has two of them.
Yeah, and you have one, and so you have an expensive wedding coming, I'm sure, along the way, and he has a few. And so, again, it's a known unknown. You know it's going to happen. You just don't know when. Now, that's one example. But, Wayne, real quickly, talk about the people that are really doing their best. Should they cut up their credit card? Should they pay them off, cut them up? And you know, some of the people who write these books about credit card debt, they say get rid of every credit card that you have. And other people say, no, I should keep it to have what should someone do once they've accomplished that? And we're talking about credit card debt only in this scenario.
It's generic advice, and this is what we can say. You know you more than anyone. We have clients, Doug, that have credit cards, and they've probably never charged a dollar on them.
Right.
Should they cut up their credit cards? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's that? It's not for me to say. We also have clients that have 15 credit cards in their pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm.
They should probably be the ones to cut them up. If you're a spender, if you're fearful, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you don't walk into the bar if you're trying to quit drinking, right? If you're trying to lose weight, it's pretty tough to just go to Dairy Queen for dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
So you have to know you and take away those temptations. So there are people that should, there are people, it's not going to matter either way.
Gotcha. Well, Wayne, when we come back, we're going to cover a couple more items talking about when you budget, and particularly we want to spend a little bit of time on those last 3 to 5 years before you retire. You know, people have three things on their mind. It's paying off debt, getting their kids out of college and through college and out of college, and having enough money to retire. That's really where a lot of people's basic financial planning ends up, and we're going to hope to cover a little bit more of that when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. We've been talking about budgets. We've been talking about debt. Some very basic, very simple things that, Wayne, what the new data is showing to us is that people are in as much debt today as they were back in 2007. So we learned our lesson for a little while, but now we're comfortable with debt again. We're also beginning to see that the age group of people who are carrying debt, 75 years and older now, have higher debt than they've had before. We've become very accustomed to this. It's not a good feeling for most people. It's a frustrating feeling, and it could have really severe impacts on their overall retirement. So, Wayne, give us some tips and some tricks and different ideas about debt elimination and budgeting.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, and I'm going to do some stuff on saving more as well.
Okay, good.
Just some quick, get your pens ready. I'm going to fire fast. The show goes so quick, Doug, as when we're on here. But first of all, you got to make this a game. So there are some, right around New Year's, some things come out on the internet that you can always look at. You know, save a penny a day. Day two, save 2 pennies, then 3 pennies, 4 pennies. All that good stuff. Well, by the end of the year, if you just save those pennies and double it every day, end of the year, you've just saved a little under $700.
Yeah.
Save $1 week one, $2 week two, $52 in week 52. You've saved almost $1,400. This could be your Christmas savings plan.
Mm-hmm.
You could work backwards. Save $52 week one when you're more motivated.
Or spring break to spring break. It doesn't have to be on January 1. It could be spring break to spring break to help with those costs.
You're exactly right. Compete with coworkers. We do this all the time at the office. Compete with coworkers, friends, family. There's a lot of things you can do to make this fun.
Yeah.
Retirement savings. Don't neglect this. Sit down and meet with your advisor that comes through your office. Studies show that those who sit down with the advisors do better. Mm-hmm. They have more money at retirement. So do that. If your employer offers auto escalation in your retirement plan, do that. If you save for retirement on your own, set a reminder on your calendar to wind in and bump it up 1, 2, 5% each year.
And just for those who might wonder, what is auto escalation? That just means that every year you increase your contributions by 1% automatically. We're going back to that automation thing again.
Automation.
Automatically. When you get a raise, it's an automation that you just automatically increase your savings.
That's a big deal. It's usually a small increase. You're not going to miss it. Bonus checks, tax checks, these things, Doug, all too often we spend those things. Mm-hmm. Save them for a purpose. Put them in your budget. What are you saving money for? Is it spring break? Is it Christmas? Is it a wedding? What are you saving for? For those tech-savvy people out there, Groupon, Living Social, there's deal sites on almost everything. Going out to eat, there's coupons all over the web. One of my personal favorites is the Acorns app. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, parents and grandparents, they saved money. They put it in their ashtray. They took it home, threw it in a coffee can, Doug. Do you even mm-hmm. remember what a coffee can looks like?
Not like you're thinking.
No. And now what the Acorns app does, and it's a free service, or it's a free app, you download it. Every time you swipe your debit card, it rounds up the spare change to the nearest dollar and saves that spare change for you. We have a lot of people that have done this, and they're saving, you know, hundreds of dollars each year just in spare change using the Acorns app. There's deal sites like eBay, Craigslist, the Facebook Marketplace. Goodwill has mm-hmm. a site now that a lot of people have fallen in love with. So here are a way to buy some of your goods and services at a discounted rate. Gas Buddy, where's the cheapest gas in town? Mm-hmm. It's a free app. Download it. It might be 5, 10, 15 cents cheaper down the road, not your normal gas station. So if you're driving around in that dually, you know, F-450 and you need to save some money on gas, go ahead and do it. Couple of my all-time favorites, however, have been the curbside pickup at a lot of the local stores. Mm-hmm. Kroger does this, the ClickList, the Walmart. I think we've heard all these is maybe coming out with curbside pickup. But by not walking through the grocery store and having those impulse purchases, I think a lot of people will see there's some real savings each month, you know, hundreds of dollars potentially for some people by ordering your goods and by ordering your groceries online and just whipping up to the curbside, let them put it in the trunk for you, and you just drive away. Big savings. I know we've been budgeting for well over 10 years now using Mint, mm-hmm. and we can definitely see the cost of our groceries has gone down tremendously since starting to use some of these services over the years. It's really neat to look at. Psychological things you can do. Carry cash and carry big bills. Mm-hmm. You know, stick $100 in your pocket. Don't carry the little bills. And that may, for a lot of people, you don't want to stop at Starbucks and spend $4, you know, and use a $100 bill. Carry cash. Have a stop buying list. You know, you and Terry did this with Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. You stopped buying Cokes, Diet Cokes, saved that money, and then when it built up to a certain amount, you would go buy Coke stock, mm-hmm. and you and Terry actually use this as your down payment on your first home. Stock up at the end of the season. You know, coats are on sale right now.
Yeah.
You know, not bathing suits. Bathing suits are expensive right now. Go buy coats and gloves and all that stuff that you're going to buy anyway and backpacks for school next year. Set your utilities on budget bill. Watch your insurance. Call your agent. Do a deductible analysis. Are you paying too little, too much? Do a deductible analysis and see what that does to your monthly bill. A lot of people know what a food fast is. It's where you go so many hours or so many days without eating. Have a money fast. How about a no money Monday, Doug? No spending money on Monday. It's pretty gratifying, and once you start doing it for a week or two, it kind of becomes addictive.
Absolutely.
Get your entire family on board for your budget as well. If you've got children, get them on board. Let them know, hey, here's our spending for this week. This is what we've got for gas, food, entertainment. We're not going over this. If you get close and if you're used to eating out like our family was, then maybe that's an extra meal or two you're not eating out and you're cooking at home. And of course, that saves you money. Use the 24-hour rule. If you're going to make a big purchase, and a big purchase, you know, might be something over $100, go home and sleep on it. Think about that purchase. A lot of times you don't even want that thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
And there are some things that you can do before retirement, too. We've geared a lot toward young people, but talk about somebody hitting retirement
age.
You
know, Dwayne, I just think it's just so imperative that people, 3 years before they retire, really rewrite their budget. You know, when someone retires at 65, at 62 years old, people are looking around saying, you know what, budgets, maybe that's when we were 30s and 40s and trying to figure out debts and credit cards. But here I am, 62 or 60, and I'm getting ready to retire in 3 to 5 years. Why do I need a budget? Well, I'll tell you why you need a budget. You need to budget your dollars as though you're retired. And a good financial planning situation will show you what income you can expect when you retire. And you need to try to live on that budget for the next 2 years to 3 years leading into retirement, just to make sure that the income matches what you're doing. Because at that point, you can say, hey, maybe I'm not really ready to retire. Great article also, I would say, in the Wall Street Journal this week that just talked about the fact that you never stop saving for big ticket items. Because if you retire at 65, Wayne, the truth is that you, if your longevity takes the path it has been, you're going to be living for 20 years on the nest egg you saved up or the money that's coming in. And they give a really good example. If you have to have $5,000 to replace a furnace, and you think that that furnace is going to have to last 15 years, if you divide 5,000 by 15, you get $333. That's $28 a month you can put aside while you're retired for that furnace, so that when it comes time to get a furnace, you don't have to put on a credit card, you don't have to sell securities, or even more so, you don't have to interrupt your IRA distribution plans and pay extra tax to pay for the furnace. Because $5,000 lump sum costs, it's not always easy to come up with that. And if you're retired, you're not going to go back and work overtime to get there. So
you could just ask your younger working children still.
Well, you could do that, but that's not so much fun either. But the reality is, we always say to people, 3 to 5 years out, you probably need to rewrite a budget at that stage of life so that you know exactly, and that the income shock doesn't happen to you. And when we say income shock is people come in and say, well, I was making X number of dollars. How much can I get in retirement? Well, if you do that a week or 2 weeks before you retire, you're going to have an income shock because you're most likely not going to have the same income you had before.
Yeah, the practice retirement's the way to go.
Yeah.
Doug, we're going to wrap up this segment, come back, we'll do a closing, we'll talk about some exciting stuff coming up at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I'm Wayne Thacker, sitting in today with Doug Hughes, talking about budgeting, debt elimination, saving strategies. And you know, Doug, we covered about half of what we really wanted to get covered today, but this show goes so fast. A couple things coming up at Comprehensive Financial Consultants that you need to know about. Next Wednesday, we've got Shred Day at our office, and a lot of folks have been through before, but you'll just come in anytime between 1 and 4, and you'll pull right in the parking lot, and we've got the shred truck out there, and they'll take your old shredding and throw it in the truck and just take care of that for you. So come on in next Wednesday at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. Pull right in. You don't even have to get out. It's curbside pickup.
Curbside pickup.
Curbside pickup of your shred. Next month in May, we've got a taxes and retirement workshop coming up. And June 5th, we've got our next Social Security and Medicare workshop. Doug, you're looking good. 30 pounds down this year.
Yeah.
Where's this at? Where can other people find out about
this? Quickfit.com, I think, is the website. And a man by the name of Wayne Thacker, whose voice you might have heard, is running this particular workout facility. A strength training facility, and so I have to tell you, I'm down 30, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, that's good. You look good, Doug. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Again, this is Your Money with David Hayes.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. We'll be right back.